This is a Triple J podcast. Could you live a life without plastics? Would it even be possible? These man-made synthetic materials have only been widespread for a few decades, but they've already made their way into every corner of the globe, including the deepest part of the ocean. They found a plastic bag in the Mariana Trench. They're also in us. I'm Dave Marchese. This is Hack's Long Listen for the Week, a chat with a 25-year-old who decided to test his body for plastic. And it's not just microplastics. There are 16,000 chemicals which are used in the production of plastic. A lot of them haven't been tested for human health. And that freaked 25-year-old Cal Glanznig out. And what started as a bit of a concern about pollution at his local waterway led him to take a urine test, and he could not believe the results.
Having that revelation that was in me was something that, just took the wind out of me, to be honest.
Now Cal is leading the fight against plastic consumption, and he says it's so important you know about this too.
Yes, it's, polluting our beaches and we're losing this war on plastic, but we're also losing a war on our own health every single day.
So he's travelled right across Australia, speaking to scientists, traditional owners, even politicians about plastic. He also made a film about it, which will be out later this year. But this isn't a sad, hopeless story, because Cal thinks with a bit of effort, we can turn things around, but he needs your help. Here's my chat with plastic pollution campaigner Cal Glanznig. Cal, thanks so much for joining us on Hack.
Thanks, Dave. Excited to be here.
Yeah, well, excited to have you in here talking to us, because I've been doing a bit of research on you, Cal, and you've got an interesting story. Like, you've always been very keen to do more when it comes to the environment. Like, I saw that you became the first student to successfully campaign to get solar panels at your school. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you did that, and then you switched your focus to plastics, and you've been making this documentary about plastics. Why plastic? Like, what was it that made you think, oh, I don't like this. We've got a problem here we need to deal with.
Yeah. The thing that sparked it for me. So growing up and still play water polo. So growing up in Cronulla, just absolutely loving the ocean, surfing, snorkeling, just getting in the ocean as much as possible. We also train in our local bay called Gunnamatta Bay down in Cronulla. And there was a training session that as we got in the water, as we started swimming, as we started passing the balls, there was just plastic and rubbish getting all over us that the coach actually cancelled the session and said, all right, everyone get out, the water's too polluted. That was the moment when I was like, okay, this global problem that we see on documentaries or see on social media of plastic, it's actually really impacting my own backyard, and surely I can do something about it.
And then you decided to make this documentary about plastic pollution. What do you explore in the doco?
Yeah, the film pretty much explores how Australia's grown to be one of the largest users of plastic per person in the world, which was something that I had no real clue before I started, because a lot of our beaches around metropolitan areas are raked every day. So our beaches always look clean, but when we actually sort of dig beneath the surface, we can explore the microplastics problem, which is absolutely massive. Then also across the country, we're getting plastic wash up in places that we definitely don't want, and also the impacts on our animals. And also the biggest sort of thread that I've explored through this journey was actually the damage that plastic's doing to our own human health, which is something that's really terrifying.
Yeah, I want to get into that, because you did get tested yourself, which is a pretty hectic thing to do, and I'm sure you're feeling all kinds of emotions waiting for those test results to come back. But talking about the places you visited, what was some of the more disturbing stuff you saw in Australia specifically in regards to plastic pollution?
Yeah, the journey started up in East Arnhem Land, so with the Dimaru Ranges and Sea Shepherd up there. So just all the plastic that's washing up there and just the impact on country was quite distressing, just the volume there. But the thing that really, I guess, shocked me in terms of the pollution piece was actually going to Taronga Zoo's Wildlife Hospital. So they're getting all of these turtles pretty much on their deathbed with stomachs full of our plastic. So yeah, we can think, oh, it's an overseas problem, but all of the plastic that we're going through on the, the beds, the hospital beds in the wildlife hospital was literally plastic that I'd be like, oh, I know that brand.
Yeah, I feel like people might remember there was a video that made the news a little while ago of a bird and having a lot of plastic inside it. And it was really disturbing footage. But you're saying that's happening all the time right around the coast of Australia and around the world.
Yeah, it is. There's research that says that, for example, in Queensland, 86% of loggerhead turtles have ingested plastic. Like, it's something that is so ubiquitous in our lives. It's everywhere.
So we'll turn from the impact on animals to the impact on us, because as part of this film, you were like, I'm going to get tested myself. We'll get to the results in a bit, but how do they test for plastics in the human body? Like, what's the process? What kind of test have you got to do?
Yeah, so what we tested wasn't necessarily microplastic particles. So what's actually more concerning is the chemicals that are, I guess, in plastic. So there's 16,000 chemicals. Only a quarter of those are being tested for human safety. So what we wanted to actually work out
is... Wow, so the other three quarters have never been tested for human safety.
No, and so those are chemicals that are linked to so many really bad health outcomes, which is what we wanted to actually understand, not so much the particles, because yes, you can find microplastics here and that obviously is not great to find it in your body, but the chemicals is what's been linked to cancers, what's been linked to infertility, what's been linked to all of these really bad health outcomes in peer-reviewed studies all across the world. So yeah, went and got my urine tested because you can sort of through urine see, yeah, what are the chemicals? And yeah, we got the results sort of a few months after, and yeah, it was very, very distressing.
When you were waiting for the results, how were you feeling? Did you have any indication? Were you thinking, look, I'm pretty good, I'm probably better than average? What were your thoughts?
I mean, hopefully better than average, just because I am someone who is quite aware of what plastic I'm consuming. You know, I try to avoid plastic water bottles. I avoid a lot of these key items that commonly leak into us, or leach into us. So the thing that I was really quite concerned about was the fertility piece, because especially a lot of the headlines and what sort of inspired me on the journey was just looking at fertility trends and how microplastics and these chemicals are really linked to that. And yeah, being 25 now, you know, I want to have a family one day, and just thinking, all right, if this is where I'm at now, whatever it is, chances are it's going to be a lot worse when I'm, you know, 10 years down the track or whatever, when I want to have a family. So yeah, that was the thing that I was like, all right, I'll be the human guinea pig. I'll go out there.
So what did it say when you got the results back? How bad was it?
Yeah, I mean, the chemical that really stood out was these phthalates, which is a chemical that's directly linked to infertility. And yeah, really, it's a hormone disruptor, the chemical. So having that revelation that that was in me was something that, yeah, just took the wind out of me, to be honest, when we had the big reveal. My results were higher than the US average population, which again is not good because the US use a lot of plastic.
That's crazy. Did that surprise you?
Yeah, honestly, so shocking. And it's just really changed the way I view this problem, because it isn't something that, yes, it's, you know, polluting our beaches and we're losing this war on plastic, but we're also losing a war on our own health every single day because of it.
I mean, to be clear, like, the results don't say, oh, you can never have children, like, we found these chemicals, that's it, you're infertile. Yeah. But still, it's something that would concern you. And you're like, what will be the repercussions if there are any? How were you feeling about that? Like, what was going through your head?
How do I fix this, essentially? Because I'm always someone that when I learn about problems, I'm like, all right, well, what are the solutions? Because I mean, the knowledge that I've got this in me now is like really heavy, and I want to be a part of trying to drive the solutions to make sure that for all my mates, for, you know, everyone in Australia, we sort of don't have this problem.
And you've been talking to a lot of leading scientists in this space. Was the stuff they were telling you pretty confronting as well? I mean, I know that one of the professors you spoke to was talking about just how much plastic we obviously consume and where we're at on a global level.
Yeah, so in Australia, we're the second largest, which is going to probably shock everyone, because I think Australia, we're this ocean country, we absolutely have this strong connection to the environment and the ocean, but we're actually have grown to be the second largest producer of plastic waste per person in the world.
Wow.
So even though we've had all of this awareness, we've had all these incredible cultural moments, I think COVID's really changed that trajectory a little bit. Like, people have sort of stopped bringing their keep cups. They've sort of become a bit
complacent. Yeah, it maybe felt like at one point we were on this like path. A lot of people were, but yeah, as you say, COVID really shifted things and maybe people went back to some bad habits.
Yeah. So we're using in Australia around triple the global average of plastics per person. Actually really hard to remove all the plastic in your life. I have tried to do it as part of this film, and where I've sort of landed is that we actually need to start to look upstream and how do we actually turn the tap off, so when we do go to supermarkets, we're not sort of flooded with plastic.
For sure, because there would be people listening now thinking, I am all for this and I want to get rid of as much plastic in my life as I can. And maybe they're trying to do that, but then you're faced with the reality of you go to the supermarket or whatever and it's just all there. And like, even if you're trying to be really good about it, sometimes there are no options and you've got to take the stuff that's being heavily wrapped in plastic. How do you figure that out, Cal? Like, I'm very keen to know exactly how much plastic you're using and if you've managed to cut down heaps. Like, have you got tips for people?
I mean, there's really easy switches, like disposable coffee cups. It's not a paper cup, like, it's lined with plastic. So the biggest thing that I have done, particularly after getting the results, is looking at where is the plastic that I use that's actually getting heated. So for example, plastic containers like Tupperware, if you put sort of hot foods in there, or if you put in the microwave or the dishwasher, that's what really gets the chemicals out and onto our food. So yeah, chucked out all of my plastic containers, plastic chopping board, really looked at also recycled plastic as well. Like if you're drinking out of a bottle or something that it says 100% recycled plastic, yes, it's good, it's not in landfill, but the process of actually making that recycled bottle is way worse for human health because they're adding all of these extra chemicals and shredding it down, and you can only do it a few times before you actually can't recycle it anymore. And even in Australia, like our plastic's only 13% recycled.
13%?
Yeah. Back in 2017, 2018, the federal government set a target by 2025 to have 100% of plastic packaging to be recyclable, compostable, or biodegradable. Last year, yeah, numbers came out, it was only 13% because it's been a voluntary, I guess, approach. There hasn't been any sort of regulation or mandated targets.
I'm also just thinking about all the leftovers in my fridge and like what is in a plastic container and heating stuff up, because this is like everyday stuff that people do all the time. In terms of the beaches, like our beaches in Australia, how bad are they? Because that was an interesting point you raised earlier about maybe we have a false sense of what the state of our beaches, especially those ones that are cleaned quite regularly.
Yeah, there's research that says that in Australia, there's 1,580 kilos of plastic that sort of goes out through stormwater and into the bays of the ocean every hour in Australia.
Every hour?
Yeah, which is it's a crazy problem. So pretty much wherever you are in Australia, if you're listening around the world, is if you see those gutters that are on the streets,
yeah.
I always used to think that there's a filter or something that's sort of stopping whatever goes in there going out into the ocean or the bay. But there's not on most of them.
So if someone drops something, it's just swept up and then it's out into the ocean.
Yeah. There's microplastics pretty much on every beach when you actually start to look at it.
And some of the beaches that should be the most pristine in Australia and really remote parts of the country, you talked about being in Arnhem Land before, but they're also copping a lot of this pollution, even if they're not generating it.
Yeah, like it is such a global problem, but it's also part of the film was really exploring, because when we're filming, we're keeping our fingers crossed that there was going to be this global plastics treaty, sort of similar to what they did with nuclear weapons back in the day, where every country's like, yep, we're going to start to phase things out. Unfortunately, because of the lobbyists and sort of powers that be, particularly Mr. Trump, yeah, the global plastics treaty's broken down. And so we're sort of left in a bit of a limbo in terms of like, what can we actually do? But I guess in Australia, we are such an influential nation. So if we can really solve this problem here, create the innovations, create the solutions, create the policy, we then can, you know, copy and paste that to all these other countries, help our neighbours, which are some of the highest polluting nations in the world.
Because people often say, whenever we talk about stuff like this, whether it's pollution, whether it's climate change, well, it doesn't matter what we do because other countries are doing so much worse than we are. And even if we change everything and even if we were perfect, it wouldn't make an impact. But you're saying, no, we should be leading the way here.
Yeah, like it should be important as Australians to have clean beaches, to have animals, turtles, dugongs, whales, dolphins that aren't dying with plastic in them. But it also should be important, how do we sort of look after our own health and sort it out here? Because a lot of the plastic that we are seeing in most parts of Australia is actually our own creation.
So what do you feel like needs to be the top priority? Is it some kind of international treaty, as was hoped for? Is it focusing on technologies that we can implement here that can help clean up stuff?
I think the global treaty space, it's just taking too long in terms of what we're experiencing with the health outcomes and the risks. I think we really just need policy that sort of addresses things in Australia. Like, we don't have regulation in terms of the plastic that we're importing, what chemicals they are. So 16,000 chemicals, only a quarter are being tested for human safety. So before something makes its way on a shelf in Woolies or Coles or, you know, the supermarkets, how do we actually make sure that plastic that maybe is wrapping the food, we actually know what's in it? Humans are very good at sort of jumping the gun, releasing things to market without actually testing what the ramifications are going to be.
Well, so, one of the experts that you interviewed in this film was kind of saying it's kind of like a massive experiment that's being played on humans at the moment.
It is. And you look at the health trends across the world, like there's probably a lot of reasons why humans aren't getting healthier, and particularly like the fertility piece. Like if you look at all the trends globally for that, like that should scare a lot of people. It definitely has scared me. It's all well and good to have different state bans and sort of state regulation, but we really need the Australian government to look at this as something that they can take ownership of. But also, how do we look at these alternative materials like plastic made from seaweed, plastic that's safer, plastic that breaks down in the environment, or packaging? Like, do we actually need you know, our fruit and veggies wrapped in plastic bags and we go to the fresh produce sections.
Are there a lot of good alternatives out there that people are inventing? Like, what's the technology like?
So there's a company over in WA that actually just raised $16 million to fast track the implementation of plastic made from seaweed, which when it's in the environment breaks down.
Yeah.
If we consume it, not harmful for our health. So there is so much innovation happening in this space, and especially if we can really create those government incentives, or at least, like, I don't think we're, you know, tomorrow can ban plastic across the country.
I'd love it though.
It would be great. It would help a lot of people. Yeah. But actually, if we can set a target in the future, and actually, you know, industry's calling for mandated targets as well now, if we can actually just say, hey, by this date, here's where we want to be. Mm-hmm. Businesses can innovate.
Yeah, well, I'm asking kind of what you think of politicians' actions and stuff like that, but you are a politician. Like, you're
technically, hopefully a fun one. No, I don't like to call myself one because I don't really like that word, but yeah
I guess you are. You're a local councillor. Is being part of local government, is that like an aspect of it that you can really see changes pretty immediately? You can be part of those conversations and you can see it. I'm just wondering, like, as a 25-year-old in local government, that's not that common.
I'll bring down the average quite a bit. Yeah.
But like, do you recommend it for young people who might be feeling pretty disillusioned, disheartened with the state of things in the world generally or in their local community? Are you like, get out there and be part of it?
Zali Stegall told me this once. She said, you know, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu, which is quite interesting. I think a lot of us have become quite disillusioned and disconnected from whether council, state or federal government. And being a councillor now, like, I know my job is to represent the, you know, the constituents of people that I sort of look after in my ward of the council. And I don't understand where it's become a bit of a disconnect where we think, oh, I'm not going to reach out to my state MP, is too busy or important, or I'm not going to reach out to my federal MP. Like, their job is to represent the people that they look after. So if they're not hearing from us, like, no wonder we're not sort of getting the reforms or the, you know, the things that we can do for policy in terms of plastics, because I don't think enough of us are actually reaching out to our local representatives and saying, hey, I'm pretty passionate about this. I don't have the answers. Like, you don't have to be an expert in anything, but just letting your local politicians know that you're passionate about something, that you care. And it's been really cool to sort of get all these wins at a council level. And then it's given me a lot of hope that we can create that change on that state level, on that federal level. Yeah, we sort of change the culture to not accept, you know, Australia being this plastic country.
Do you reckon we'll get to a plastic-free existence one day?
I don't think it'll ever be plastic-free. I think plastic is a very useful resource. You know, we've got this desk is plastic. Like, we've got plastic in our cars. We've got plastic all around us. And I don't think that's necessarily the end point of where we want to get to, is like, hey, we need to cut all plastic. But it's like, what is realistic? What is achievable? So how do we really think about, I guess, the future that we're sort of striving towards instead of this plastic-free future? I'd maybe call it like a safer chemical future, like something that we know that when we're buying food from the shops, when we're, you know, wearing clothes, when we're sort of out in the beach, we know that we're not ingesting these microplastics and these chemicals that are really leading to these health outcomes that, yeah, are not what I think a lot of people want.
And stuff has been at least tested. Like, that's the bare minimum that that people would expect, right? Cal, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your time.
Thanks so much, Dave.
Loved that chat with Cal Glansnig. Such an interesting guy and really inspiring as well. Like, when you speak to someone like that who is so passionate, so knowledgeable, but also has so much motivation to change things, you can't help but feel motivated to want to join in and do something yourself. I mean, as soon as I got out of that chat, the first thing I did was take my lunch out of my plastic container, put it onto a plate and heat it up in the microwave. So look, small steps, but we do our best. And if you want to know more about Cal's film that we were talking about in that chat, it will be out later this year. It's still a few months away. It's called Plastic Country, and it's going to be amazing. Cal told me King Stingray have been helping out with some of the soundtrack, so it's going to be a really, really beautiful film, but also probably a little scary and hopeful at the same time. So make sure you keep an eye out for it. That is all we've got time for on the Hack Podcast for now. I'll catch you next time. Hack.